Hello everyone and welcome to Unfiltered Radio. I'm Mike D'Alessandro along with Jeff Angelo and our esteemed, widely revered, and I believe knighted, right? Producer.
Date, anyway.
John O'Kirk. So we're excited about today's show. Jeff, how's it going?
So far, so good. Disclaimer, yeah, right before we went on the air.
Biggest faux pas for...
It really is. It really is. Right before we start going, John just has to lure me in with Altoids. He brought in a little tin of them, and I don't know like what the calorie count is on them, but I've had like 16 at this point. So I just keep eating. Every time I go to grab one, I look at John like, oh, is this okay? I take it anyways, no matter
what he
says yes or no.
Let's just hope they're not caffeinated. You don't need that.
Oh, I do not need that.
No, you don't.
It was our last show we did with Don Orange.
Yeah.
you know, he came in and he's like, God, you must have had like 5-6 cups of coffee. And I was like, oh, no, I don't drink coffee. He's like, oh, my God, don't start drinking coffee. You're off the walls. So, but it was a fun show. You had fun with Don?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I had fun with all of our guests.
His drawl that he had.
His
Don speak. He could read you bedtime stories. I mean, it'd put you to sleep at night. I asked him to.
I think we
wouldn't do it.
Wow.
No, he wasn't in the mood.
Oh, all right. Time to get serious now. Okay.
As much as we can. Yeah.
So on today's show, we're going to look at state politics. And you love politics, right?
Yeah, it's the number one thing on my zero agenda.
All right. We're, so...
We do a political show.
We do a political show.
I can't stand... Like, halfway through, I get so annoyed that we're still talking about politics.
I know. Every show, you bring it up.
I bring it up every show. I know. That's just...
All right. So, we're going to focus on the state legislature today. While it's going to be a short... Well, supposedly short session up there, shorter than last year. There's a lot going on, and so we're honored today to have State Senator from the 18th Legislative District, Ann Rivers. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jeff, you want to? I know there's a question you've been dying to ask the senator.
We're coming to that. I have a few start.
Oh, you're not going to start there?
You know, Don, I didn't have anything written down. I had zero. I just walked into it with a blank slate because he didn't know what to expect. And I was like, you know, if he doesn't know what to expect, I don't want to have any expectations of myself. So, no prep. Today, though, well, I think my son had a couple questions. I think it's a good platform to start
out
with.
Okay.
So, I have a 14-year-old son. And I kind of do a tiny bit of prep with him before I leave. And it's 14-year-old prep. Because... I don't know, maybe he's got something in his mind that he wants to ask you. Who knows what it is? So today, it started out, what's a state senator do? He has no idea. So that's where I wanted to ask you just right out of the gates.
What a smart kid to ask that question, because a lot of people think they know and really they have absolutely no idea. A state senator has three primary responsibilities. The first, in no specific order of importance. The first is to vote and pass an operating budget, a capital budget, and transportation budget for the state of Washington, and all of the subsidiary pieces that go along. That's where I advocate on behalf of my district to make sure that our fiscal needs are being met community by community. The second thing that we do is we pass laws, things that we think will make the state a better place to live, again, meeting the needs of the constituency, not only of our district and our region, but of the state. And then finally, to advocate, this to me is the most important thing that we do. We advocate on behalf of our constituents with the government that they have to deal with, whether it's an L&I claim or a Department of Revenue issue that they're having or Department of Financial Institutions thing that's going on, whatever it is, whatever intersection that's causing them grief with their government, it's my responsibility as their representative to go in and to try and help them get through that.
Okay. So the follow-up here, why should that be important to him?
Because whether he would like to admit it or not, every single thing that I do touches him in some way. I might like to take a moment to educate him about House Speaker Tip O'Neill, who was very dear friends with Ronald Reagan, who said all politics is local. The education funding that we've just completed over the past 5 years, some $11.3 billion more dollars, directly will impact what he has coming into his own school. The roads that he rides on. I'm reminded of the 21 Pilots song about the guy, he's got his girl in the car and she's sleeping and he's ticked off because he's hitting potholes and she's waking up because his elected officials aren't spending his tax money to fill those holes with cement.
Is that a country
right?
song?
No. 21
okay.
Pilots?
I saw
the country song. Oh my gosh!
This sounds like a country bumpkin here.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'm driving here, I sit, cursing my government for not...
She'll teach it to us.
Oh, come on. Okay. 21 Pilots?
No. What is 21?
Oh, okay. I've fallen into
we're
a popular
already,
culture
already
black hole.
Sidebar.
Sidebar. Here we go.
Anyway, so, I mean, so many things happen at the state level that directly impact each of us on our daily lives, and we don't even recognize it. So... sometimes policies are really good. Sometimes we're, you know, trying to fix policies we thought were going to be good and don't end up being so good. But it's, there's significant intersection with our daily lives and state government. Unlike federal, a lot of things happen or don't happen at the federal level, and we never may even feel that.
Sure.
That's true.
But at the state level, it's pretty applicable.
Well, I'm going to get him to listen. He'll become follower number 18. So he'll get a little learning lesson here. Okay, so, you know, when I walked in the room earlier today, I had to immediately stop you from talking. I'm sorry. I like a cold open. I don't like to know what answer I'm going to get. I like to hear it on the spot. So the next thing I was going to ask is, backing up a little ways, let's go to the before time.
Okay.
So before you got into politics, what were you doing? What was going on in your world?
I was operating a small business that was public and governmental political affairs consulting. So it was a great... it was a great leaping off point for me because I had seen so much in the community that I felt that I could work on and contribute to just in the course of my professional life.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I became elected, my career was oftentimes, it would be easy to perceive that it would be in direct conflict with being an elected official.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I were to call and pick up the phone and say, hey, it's Ann Rivers, wouldn't matter what the person on the other end, they would think, oh, she's a representative at that time, or, oh, a senator's calling. And automatically there's a very different, that's a very different discussion, because then it's like, if I don't do this, you know, will she help me out down the road at some point? And it's about a power struggle
right.
at that point. So I have been offered many positions, but when I run them past Senate counsel to say, not sure if this could work, they usually will say, yeah, that's not going to work because the implied power is there and that's not going to be healthy. So at the federal level, it's called influence peddling. Here, we don't have a name exactly like that, but the idea is the same. And so we have to really be careful about that. So what I do for my job is I am the beverage cart girl here, right here at Tri-Mountain. And so I drive around the golf course and I bring snacks and sometimes sandwiches and food and beverages to the golfers when they golf.
And I think this is interesting because a lot of people think that elected officials just are filthy rich, right? That you get paid. I mean, first, it's one of those deals where everybody thinks, especially, you know, state legislature, right? It's not a full-time job, but it basically is, and the salary doesn't necessarily equate to a full-time job. So yeah, I guess that's interesting that it really is limited, I guess, what you can or should do, I guess, outside of your legislative work, because there can be those conflicts.
You have to have flexibility nonstop.
Right. I mean, we came out of the longest legislative session, I think, in the history of our legislature this past year. And for me, it was particularly long because I was on the McCleary negotiating team. So I was there every day, driving back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then I would need the flexibility to say, I can work today, or I can't work, or whatever it is. And really, Tri-Mountain gave me that flexibility. But for me, the other and more important upside was this. It really, probably 50% of the people that I serve here are actually my constituents. And they don't know I'm a senator. Most of them have no idea that I'm a senator.
So do you hear them trashing the government when they're out there?
Well, it's interesting. They're out here to have a good time, right? Yeah. So sometimes I'll ask probing questions like, so what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And
dang, this beverage cart girl, man, what's going on with her? She knows too much.
Education policy. Yeah.
Just trying to hit a ball.
Right? But it was really, it's interesting the things that you hear when people have no idea who you are. When they realize I'm a senator, then they get all nervous and like they're going to say something incorrect. And the reality is, I need to hear everything that they have to say because I need to be able to balance out all of these different thoughts to come up with policy positions and really understand the ramifications of what we're doing. So it's very interesting and it's very fun. And here's the other thing. People who work at a golf course, they're not getting rich. It's not, the people who work here are minimum wage workers. I'm a minimum wage worker here. And as I listen to my coworkers and I understand what they're facing, the costs, what they think are luxuries. I overheard a conversation once about one coworker had gotten new rims and tires and brakes. And another coworker said, how can you afford such luxuries? And I said, that's not a luxury. That's a safety issue. Safety shouldn't be a luxury.
The brakes.
Right, brakes. I need for you to have brakes in case we're driving by one another.
Do the Flintstones method. I put a hole in the bottom of the car and just so my feet can stop the whole
thing. Drag your feet. So it really is great to refocus on the struggles that real people are having in my district. And to see, look, we all love our children. We want the very best for our children. We have very different struggles, and yet our struggles are very similar too. And to be mindful of that has been very, very powerful for me. I feel like it's really, Tri-Mountain is in the heart of my district, and in so many ways, has really impacted my heart and the way that I serve my people. It's been phenomenal. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I had several people say, don't you think that job is beneath you? But I'll tell you something, you guys. When I was a girl growing up, trying to put myself through college, I did some really awful jobs. And I deigned to do that work. And my mother said, look, at when you need money, there is nothing that is beneath you. So you need to get over yourself. And so I had a moment when people were asking me about this. You know, they were asking me about, is this beneath me? And I heard my mom's words again. And I thought, you know what? And it has just, this job's been such a blessing for me.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm glad you have it.
Yeah, it's great.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation here with State Senator Ann Rivers. You're listening to Unfiltered Radio.
Community radio like this is brought to you by the generous support of Hosley Eco Automotive. Family-owned and operated since 1946, Hosley Eco Automotive is your source for fast, friendly, and honest service. Hybrid and electric, car qualified, and home of the 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Find out more at HosleyEcoAutomotive.com or call them directly at 360-558-3747. Hosley Eco Automotive, your source for Vancouver auto repair. And by the generous support of the National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation. NW CAVE helps inform and educate the prevention of violence against women and children. They have a dream, a world without violence. Learn more about how you can help at nwcave.org.
You're listening to Unfiltered Radio with Mike and Jeff, and we are back with State Senator Ann Rivers. Before the break, we were touching on education a tiny bit, or it came up...
Just in a passing sentence. But it was just a fleeting moment.
A lot of people don't know what McCleary is, but we won't get into all that necessarily, but it has to do with education funding. And the state has been... Well, basically, the state's been obligated, or... I'm obligated is the right word, by the Supreme Court to more adequately fund state education. So that happened last year, or that was the thought that it happened last year going to for last year's budget. Now they've come back to the Supreme Court and said things need to speed up. So this change has to start to happen a year sooner. So now there's another gap that the legislature has to fix. So my question to the senator is, well, how do we do that?
So I don't see any circumstance under which we're able to do what they require. If we in that room, and it was a bipartisan bicameral mm-hmm, room with yeah. equal numbers, mm-hmm. If we could have done the funding quicker, we absolutely would have. But because of the way that the different calendars fall... So, for example, you have the school year calendar, which goes September to June, right? And mm-hmm. then you've got the state budgeting, which goes July to June 30. And then you've got the regular calendar. And then you've got, there's another calendar in there somewhere. So trying to get all of them to jive, mm-hmm. what we needed to do was create the pool of money for of the local property taxes that we could then distribute the following year. So for the first year of McCleary, there will be a property tax increase for every place in the state. And then in the second year, we will have built up the pool enough. In the second year, then that amount will be taken out of the local levies and will go to the state. Mm-hmm. With the exception of one area down here, which is Ridgefield, the property owners down here will all see a property tax decrease because we've been putting
and
in...
And what year would that be?
In 2019, they'll see a property tax
decrease. 2018 will go up, 2019 will come down.
Yes.
Okay.
There's been some concern expressed because property values are going up, but the reality is the taxes were going to go up. The property values were going up anyway, regardless of what we did. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit specious to say, that property taxes were going to be held harmless. You know what I mean? Our values are going up. This is a desirable place to live. So that we did modeling. We didn't run it out to the potential increases over the years mm-hmm. Because it was going to happen anyway. Yeah. So for us to say, no, we can't do anything because something may happen 10 years time from now seemed a little short-sighted. So we were able to get that squared away, and the state is still hoping that, or the Supreme Court is still hoping that we can somehow see our way clear, but there's no magic wand, and it's, you know, we all did the very best we could do. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud to have led the way with my colleagues on this. It was very, very difficult work, but very important work.
You know, just transitioning a little bit from education here, I had something else that I wanted. So I went up to Olympia last year, and actually I came in to one of your meetings that was going on. Healthcare, was that the board?
Yeah, okay. I was the chair of healthcare.
I actually was in the room there for the opioid use presentation. It was all, I mean, we're one of them. I'm not sure how many there were, but one was back in January of last year, and I was in the room at the time. I almost tried stopping you, but I think you said, that's the guy I don't want near me. And so it was right of you. It was a good call. But, you know, what kind of, my wife is a substance use counselor. And so where are we going with this opioid use? She says it's out of control.
Oh, it's absolutely out of control. There's no doubt about it. We've been nipping around the edges at the problem. I had several pieces of legislation last year that were either incorporated into other bills or they were companion pieces that that were partnered with the House. We got a lot done on it last year, but you know what? We have a full boat this year too of things that we can't just think, oh, we've done all this, now we're done. We still have a lot of work to do. There are major concerns about the amount of opiates available to people for pain relief.
Yeah.
The American Medical Association is now coming out with studies about best practices for pain relief. I don't know if you've ever gone to have your wisdom teeth removed, but the doctor will give you a 30-day supply of an opioid to get you through. And
really?
What happens with that, right? I mean, where does it go if all I need is 3 days? So what they're looking at now are best practices, and I'm really proud of the medical association in our state because they're doing this work of their own accord, recognizing that they want to solve the problem. There's also a lot of research that shows that people are hooked on the opiates, and the reality is they're no longer in pain, but their mind tells them they still need the opiate. So that's another thing that we have to deal with. But another thing we have is we've got insurance companies who will not pay for more expensive pain relief that is non-addictive. Mm-hmm. They also will not pay for alternative practices that could help someone get through pain. I'm thinking acupuncture, chiropractor, naturopathic remedies, because it's a little bit more expensive. But here's the reality. We're either paying a little bit more on the front end or we're paying a lot more on the back end. And it's not just dollars and cents, but it's what's happening to our social fabric because of this. We have a huge growing segment of heroin addiction from soccer moms who can no longer get opiates. So now they're using heroin. These are women who never in a million years would you look at them and say, oh, clearly they're ripe to become a heroin addict. But we've nibbled around the edges. We have to do the rest of the work now. And I'm so excited to hear that your wife is a caregiver, because the reality is, I think I know what we need to do, but I'm not swimming in that pool every day. And we're expected to be, you know, jack of all trades, truly master of none. And so I need masters to help me, you know, define policy and really come up with the best course of action.
Well, I'll talk to my master later.
There you go. Excellent.
I just wanted to dovetail on the healthcare question real quick as we're talking about this. So last session, I believe you sponsored 66 bills, and a lot of them were around medical issues, healthcare issues. So can you talk to us about some of, you know, successes, some of the things that you were able to push through?
So I have to tell you, pretty much everything. In fact, Senator Cleveland and I were talking about undisposed bills, and those are bills that are carryover because we have a two-year cycle for bills. Mm-hmm. So I introduce it in the long session, and it stays alive all the way till the end of the second session in the biennium. So she said, you don't have any undisposed bills. And I said, no, I got everything done. It was amazing. And that was just in healthcare we were talking about. I had some other bills that were wrapped in a lot of marijuana stuff. But I had so many bills, I can't even remember, but each and every one of them was so passionate for me. Continuity of care is a huge passion of mine. A lot of people don't know what that is, and I have a little bit of a target on the back, on my back, from some industries on this because they don't want to pay for it. But when a mental health patient titrates, which is when a drug fully gets implemented into their system, on a mental health drug, there's a lot of high and low that goes along with this. Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult, physically and emotionally demanding process. But when they're finally steadied and they feel like they're normal, then they can approach what would then be a healthy lifestyle. What happens, there's insurance companies have developed a step therapy where you may titrate on this, but then they go, oh, well, let's try you on this now. Well, let's try you on this now. And the problem is that the process is so difficult for them that they go, screw it, I'm not taking anything. And a lot of these people actually end up on the street and are contributing to our homeless problem. So that is a personal, it's a wildly personal issue for me, because I just, as people want to talk about all of these different issues, whether it's gun control or homelessness, and what they're failing to recognize is at the root of this, a lot of time is a mental health struggle. I don't think that we should make mental health more difficult for people. So I'm working on that. I'm receiving a ton of pushback. But I think it's well worth doing, and it's a fight I'm willing to have all day long. A lot of stuff surrounding opioids, mm-hmm. because again, to pretend it's not there is insanity. Mm-hmm. 12-month birth control was a huge, huge thing for me. And it was hilarious because, I was told over and over I would never get it done, but, it's worth doing, and women should have the access to 12 months at a time. I mean, we have young women who are, you know, they're going to go overseas to study or whatever. They don't have access over there like we have over here. Mm. So we need to make sure that they're prepared. There are lots of some women have endometriosis, and they need to be on a constant supply. And so it just... it's just a good thing for us to do.
Just makes sense.
It's right. It just makes. So that's kind of, I guess if I were going to sum myself up, it's just sort of common sense. Why are we not doing this? How we're being silly here.
Mm-hmm. Being proactive.
Yeah. I mean, to not let these things occur is just silliness. What's the big holdup? So, that's a cool thing too. So I have so many things, and candidly, Senator Cleveland and I were in lockstep on quite a few issues. So our rules will be reversed next year. She will be the chair, and I'll be the ranking. Mm-hmm. But we met last week to talk about our joint priorities, and opioids remained at the top of the list for both of us.
And then, just so everyone knows, real quick, Senator Annette Cleveland is right. Who we're referring to in the 49th. Who's
down in Vancouver, yeah.
Down in Vancouver here.
Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that she's local as well.
Mm. Right, she's local. So, yeah, it's just a really, it's really an incredible place. Healthcare is an incredible place to make a very big difference for people.
So, I want to move into something we haven't talked about yet.
Good.
So we're gonna start talking about it now.
You're prepared for this? I don't know what's coming up. So
the Sasquatch bill.
Oh,
we haven't even touched on it yet. We haven't even got
it's like
to
your
it.
Favorite thing.
It,
in the whole
it
world.
Is, and I have defended this so much. I am a clear defender of this.
Since like I think our first ever show.
Ever. I mean back in the
last
past
year.
Days yeah. with when we first started.
Yeah.
I have talked about this so much. It's ridiculous. It's almost like beating a dead horse on the show by this point. But now we have Ann Rivers right here in front of us.
This is the chance to talk about it, man.
This is the chance. But, you know, with that all being said, I think we need to get into the story here of this bill, because I've kind of heard the story a little bit, so I want to just at least start right here with where it all began.
So this is the best thing ever. I got a handwritten note into my office in the snail mail from a young man in my district who at the time I think was in the third grade. He'll be going into the fourth grade this coming year. But I got it late in the session. And so he wanted me, he said, I want you to work on getting Sasquatch as our state cryptid. Well, both of my sons were all about cryptids growing up. And in case you don't know, a cryptid is an animal that may or may not be real. Think
unicorn.
Think no, you know
oh,
the unicorn.
On,
no, 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 what's the matter no. With but like the chupacabra, okay, right? Man. Chupacabra.
And just a disclosure, my entire household believes the Sasquatch is out there. I mean, legitimately, we believe.
Oh, my family does too.
Yeah.
And I've said in the past, it's the arrogance of people who think that we know all there is to know about this earth is simply remarkable to me. But, okay, so having said that, so I had a bill drafted and I didn't publicize it. I didn't do anything with it. I just had it drafted. And the moment it hit the introduction sheet, my phone started ringing off the hook from people literally all over the world. BBC UK called me. I had phone calls from Nepal. I had phone calls from China. Because as it turns out, many places have their sort of Sasquatch.
Nepal has
the Yeti. Right? They have the Yeti. There's the man of the forest from Russia. I mean, all over the world. And then I got calls from research organizations who began to flood my office with real research. Then I started getting gifts in the mail, like books and little signs and mugs and all sorts of things. It was just the most, and I had no idea. I loved this kid because he was interested in the legislative process and he was interested in Sasquatch. And I thought, you know what? If we don't do things like this for these kids to become engaged and start thinking about it, we could get them early or we could just allow them to check out. And it just seemed like a really good idea. Now, in all fairness, I got letters from people who said, really, don't you have anything better to do? And I just laughed and I'm like, yeah, like the most stringent distracted driving law in the nation and working on opioid abuse. And I mean, I had all of, and marijuana stuff, all this stuff, you know, so it was just kind of a funny thing, but I felt like it was worthwhile.
I want to come back to this. We're going to come back to this.
Oh yeah, definitely.
We have to take a quick break though.
Yep, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with State Senator Ann Rivers. You're listening to Unfiltered Radio.
Community radio like this is brought to you by the generous support of Beacock Music. Family owned and operated since 1976, Beacock Music is your source for an extraordinary selection of products, experts, and a fun environment. Find out more at BeacockMusic.com or call them directly at 360-694-7134. And by the generous support of Harmony Road Music School. Did you know a child who participates in a music program does better socially and academically? Give your child a head start with music lessons from Vancouver Harmony Road Music School, led by the direction of Mr. Robert Bolton, a teacher with over 25 years of experience. Find out more at harmonyroadvancouver.com or call them directly at 360-256-4670. Harmony Road Music School, your home for comprehensive music education.
Do
You're listening to Unfiltered Radio with Mike and Jeff. We are back with State Senator Ann Rivers. Before the break, we were talking about Jeff's favorite, I think, favorite piece of legislation in the history.
100% it is, in the history of the state.
The Sasquatch Bill, as everybody calls it. So we kind of left that off there and want to talk a little more about that.
Yeah, you know, and it was kind of fun. A little while back, back when the Cougs had a glimpse of hope, towards the end of their season, and I don't know what happened. You know, Noelle and I went up to Seattle for the game, and we were down on the pier there in Seattle, and they had this shop all with all types of Sasquatch stuff, and I almost bought the Sasquatch poop, which was just like chocolate.
Yeah.
Was going to bring it for Ann.
Oh, someone sent me some.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I'm glad I didn't do it then.
Well,
go look for some different.
And some Sasquatch hair, too. They sent me Sasquatch hair, too.
I'm going to hand deliver my stuff for now. Now that she knows who I am and doesn't stick security on me again, I'll hand deliver.
What's really cool is right about when this happened, we were up in Olympia, and we came to your office. And what's really cool about it is there was some criticism out there, people making fun of it and all that, and that was we thought that was silly. But you guys owned it. Like, we go up there, and there's Sasquatch stuff everywhere in your office. There's stickers, there's whatever everywhere, which is really cool. I got in there, and I had a great laugh about it. I'm like, well, I'm glad, you're. I mean, it's a neat bill. It's obviously a little fun, right? But,
right.
But it's also, you know, going through the legislative process, and that, like that kid you mentioned that sent you the letter. And
yeah, and here's the thing about it. I do so many very, very heady bills that are very, the rape kit testing bill, these bills that are very weighty bills. And it's nice to have something where you can just kind of like take a breath and enjoy yourself. And you get to meet an entire different segment of your constituency.
Yeah.
And that was really cool, too. But here's another thing. So I was contacted by the spouse of another legislator who said, I've told my husband if he doesn't support this bill that he's sleeping on the couch.
That's
and
awesome.
Then took it one step further and said, I'd like to see you introduce a bill to create a Sasquatch license plate.
Ooh.
For the purpose of funding state parks.
Oh my God. I would for the first time support state parks.
And I have the cycling I have the cycling license plate on my car, the Share the Road.
Yeah.
I have that. I would gladly change out my Share the Road for my either stop following me or share the trail.
Oh,
and then we could fund state parks and people, it could be voluntary. Nobody has to do
that
it.
That would be big, I think.
So
that
I'm going to have that drafted up and see
nice.
If I can get it done.
Well, that would be so awesome.
Yeah, I think it's really a win-win for those people who want to engage in that way and also who want to have a little bit of fun.
So I remember going to Long Beach, and I was with my son, and outside of Marsh's Free Museum,
mm-hmm.
there's a Sasquatch there.
Yeah.
And this, I didn't even know Ian. Like, we're Facebook friends, but we didn't know each other. Every picture I take with this kid and a Sasquatch, I take Ann, or I'll do something. At that point, she had to be like, God, this guy's a psycho. It's like, he's just the most mental person I know right here.
I love it.
But
Keep it coming.
Yeah, he's like, his face in the photo is like, oh, why'd I have to do this?
Again.
And he's like, every time you see a Sasquatch. But I was like, isn't this cool though? He's like, yeah, it's cool, but there's a limitation. But I love it. I love the story behind it. It hits something personal for me. It touches with my family and another business I have in Oregon. So that's just why I loved it so much. And I was a huge supporter of it. I still am. Where are we at right now with it? Where are we at here?
So it's going to be introduced into the state government committee. And Senator Sam Hunt is the chair of that this year. So I'll be reaching out to Sam and asking him to hear it right away. And if it doesn't get through this year, I'll introduce it next year.
Well, you know what? We'll have Jeff just give
make
a visit
there.
Up to Mr. Hunt's office
up there. I will talk with him on your behalf. Don't even worry about that conversation.
Maybe
it's already taken care of.
Like a Sasquatch outfit, like a
yes,
costume.
Yes. I'm sure that's the way that people get meetings up there in Olympia. Yeah. You just turn up a costume, and immediately they're like, "I need this meeting."
Well, they think you're Representative Vic anyway, so just be like,
"They do." They do. That story... Okay, I don't want to get into that whole story anymore. It was... You know what, though? Okay, yeah, real quick. So when I was up there, it was the lobby day. It was MLK Day. And it was just... Education was up there. And that... Those lobbies are incredibly large. Like, huge. Enormous amounts of people. And I was dressed up, and I was up there with another representative that you know, Monica Stonier. Uh-huh. And she was kind of just showing me stuff and going around. She's like, but dress up a little bit. You can't just look like you. And I was like, okay, look like someone else. How do I do that? And so I dressed up and went out there. I looked really
little
nice.
Did you know and how little like you and how much like Brandon Vick you'd like.
Yeah. And yeah, I think I wasn't shaving that day and just a little going on here. And I walked down for the education rally with the 18th, and they're like, oh, and like the look on their face was like, oh my God. And I was like, yeah, hey, I was gonna walk with you guys. And yeah, it turns out that they were looking at me like I was their rep. And so I did not correct it.
You did not dissuade them from incorrect
I just, right? You never confirmed it either.
I never confirmed it. Or did I just, or did I? And if they asked, I just kind of, didn't say anything. And then at the end, they all took a picture with me. I'm right in the middle there, and it's probably up on a wall somewhere. And just went from that.
You were like stunt Brandon.
Yeah, yeah. I was a stand-in. When he's unavailable, I was standing in for it. And then later that day, the girl who came up thinking I was the lobbyist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because she's like, oh, I need to get this to... Brandon Vick's office was just sitting there with her parents at the table. I'm eating lunch in that little cafeteria place you guys have there. And I was like, oh, Brandon Vick? Oh, yeah, I can help you out. No, Brandon. She's like, oh, you can? I was like, hey, let me see what you're working on there. And brought over the blue papers, whatever they are. And sorry, I was like, hey, I can help you out with this. You get up there and tell them Jeff Angelo sent you on up. And it was my favorite.
That is hilarious.
Brandon probably said, Jeff Angelo, turn her away, send her off.
Who is that?
Yeah, who the heck is this guy? Get this guy out of here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That is awesome. It was a great story.
I like having fun.
I think I need a stunt double.
It can't be me, I'll be honest. I mean, yeah. I'm the wrong shape.
Who could I get? I don't know, Jennifer Aniston, maybe?
There you go. There you go. I'll put the call in. She owes me a few favors. I'm sure she'd be happy.
No, you know who I get a lot? People think the gal from Weeds. And Reds.
Parker is the last name.
Mary Louise Parker. People always tell me that.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Can you see that?
Yeah, I can see a little
maybe
bit of
I'll,
that.
Maybe I'll get so, her to be my stunt double.
So there's another one, too, that we have a new candidate that's running for Congress, Carolyn Long. You have some resemblance there as well. So
I always do the game who people look
could
like,
always,
too.
Maybe you guys should connect and try to find a way to help each other out there.
Work that out.
My wife would hate if I said who she gets all the time.
You probably shouldn't on air.
I'm not
going to. We'll save that
one. I'm not going to. I bet she'd kill me.
So I do have a one. I do want to get back to something
serious
for a second. But if you got to go ahead.
I don't know what I have.
I mean, Sasquatch was serious, but you know what I mean. We're having fun here, right? So I have one more thing I wanted to cover today.
Oh, go ahead. Let's cover it and see where we're at.
All right. So it's probably one of the most dreaded subjects, I think, because it's been talked about for years. I know that you were one of the, I'm not sure how many Republicans supported the Connect Washington package, but you did, which had a lot of benefit to the 18th Legislative District. But there's now a new effort to work on the I-5 bridge replacement or multiple bridges, however you want to look at it. So
right.
We wanted to get your take on how you feel about the prospects of that and the need for it and where you would like to see it go.
Well, I do. I've been engaged with the delegation. Most of the delegation down here has been in active participation, talking about it, looking at it, and trying to chart the path forward. We'll be having a meeting, I think it's the 15th of December, which is by statute when we said we would do that, where we get to look at the inventory of what is still applicable on the project and potential steps forward, that kind of thing. My thing is that we do need, we need to have multiple crossings over this river, but we don't get there until we get I-5 squared away in one way or another. We, in our bill that was a bipartisan bicameral bill, I think it had all but two of the legislators from Southwest Washington on it, and then legislators from elsewhere in the state who joined us. We put project in there because we don't want to limit it to any one thing. And we didn't want the preconceived notion that it's already done. All we have to do is provide funding. We want to go through, we want to hear what people think, what their desires are, what they'd like to see, create some investment, community investment in it. But we, I was thrilled to hear in a preliminary way that much of what we did is still applicable today.
Good.
So that's going to be a huge cost savings for us. Are there some other things we're going to have to look at? Yeah. And so much of what we did is going to be depend on the project. If we do a tunnel through the basalt, right, then you're not going to have to worry about property acquisition. If we do,
ferries, were you going there?
If we do ferries, we're not going to have to do land acquisition. You know, we've got lots of different options. But here's what's very clear. Two bridges across the Columbia is not enough. Sharon Wiley and Representative Wiley and I pushed for a bridge authority, a group of people whose sole job is to find locations where we can put additional connectors between our two states. Or additionally, we need to replace the Bridge of the Gods. We got a real wake-up call. A year and a half ago, we got a real wake-up call on that structure, and we need to replace it. We need to replace the bridge at Hood River. So we've got a lot of work to do to connect our two states.
A lot of bridges.
Yeah, and so
we have to build some bridges.
Got to build some bridges.
That's right.
Lots like that of hasn't
them.
Been said before, right?
I know.
When you guys were working and coming up with whatever options were out there, did you guys at any point consider a ferry option where you just kind of get some trees, some lumber, and tie them together, making like a rudimentary.
Like a raft?
Like
in Jeremiah Johnson or, you know, any of those.
Sure, any reference you would like there.
Jeff, here's just down and dirty. We talked about.
The only way I know.
That we can't take anything off the table. So everything is up for discussion. And
you're saying there's a chance.
We also had a gentleman who brought to us the idea of water taxi, right? So
well, mine's kind of like that.
So, you know, to get you across the way.
Wow.
We don't have our eyes set on any one thing. We have our eyes set on everything and hearing from people what could work, what might. And here's the reality. Maybe it's not one silver bullet, Jeff. Maybe it's several things along with the replacement of the I-5 that could really work for
us. How do you bring your options to the table up in Olympia? You just come to a special session?
Oh, my gosh. Contact any one of us.
Perfect.
And, contact any one of us. We're all committed to making sure that everybody gets heard.
In many circles.
So, I can tell.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, sure. So I don't know if my ferry project's going to become a real thing, but it's sounding like more of an option now that I'm hearing
this. You know, after hearing this, I thought it was never going to happen, but there's actually
a possibility.
There's a small possibility.
Me and Pat Gelada out there on the river just pushing across.
It could be a consideration.
I'll tell you what, when that bridge falls, you were going to look at that ferry option and be like, man, that guy was on to something.
So, he's a man ahead of his time.
Yeah, he was very progressive in his thought process. So,
man,
we're coming down to...
trivia time.
It's trivia time. This is my favorite time over... Well, not today. Sasquatch Bill.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
Close second.
Trivia's a close second this time. First time I've had to say that about anything.
Man. Okay. Well, John here, our producer, is going to ask us... Well, we're going to look for trivia questions here for all... Well, you better have found some trivia questions for us.
Yeah, I did.
All right. So anyways, all of us are going to compete and see who actually knows what they're talking about here.
Keep your expectations low.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the motto of the show. That's all we ever do.
So how we're going to play this is that questions going to be asked. After the question's completed, first person to raise their hand will be the one called on to answer. And
except if you're Don Orange and just says it before raising your hand, it's like he doesn't understand how to play.
Seriously.
And that's the only way he won.
What's the prize for today?
Well, he had to know the answer, right?
He knew it. He's been around a while. He's like, I think he's 150.
I don't know.
I don't have a prize.
You don't have a prize?
No, there's no prize.
Well, it looks like it's fresh air again.
Fresh air is the prize.
Yeah, we'll leave the room.
Another day where you get to live.
Yeah, there we go. All right, so
all right, John, lay it on us.
All right, so the first question is, in what sport did Scott Hamilton win Olympic gold?
Oh, I knew that.
And?
Figure skating. Men's figure skating.
Ann's got the first one. Okay, we're going to do three questions, so it's going to be best two out of three.
This better happen, okay.
All right.
Come on, man.
Second question. Where does Greg Norman come from?
Oh, I know that, too.
Australia.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right.
Who the heck's Greg Norman?
Golfer,
where is it?
Oh, my God.
Okay, so you guys, maybe Ann doesn't know this. Golf is my most hated sport. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I was forced to do it when I was young. I can't do it anymore.
Done with
man.
Yeah, I drive carts like amazingly. I mean, I'm really good with car driving.
So you'd be like a caddy, couldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. And then just stay in the shack. Then you have a whole movie.
Caddy
again.
Shack.
Yeah,
caddy
exactly. Shack.
There you go.
I would love to work
on it. I'll make it fair for
you. You'll have nothing like it.
Oh, so what does that mean?
We're gonna do a runner up question. So,
oh gosh. So, all right.
That way Jeff can say he had the
I shall do my best.
Okay. So runner up question is, who is younger? Serena or Venus Williams?
Ooh. I'm gonna go with Serena Williams.
That is correct.
Yeah.
50-50 shot. Yes.
No, I think
but
I...
By how
I
much? Do we know by how many...
It's probably by a couple mats.
Well, I don't know. Question, how do we know it's...
No, she's a couple years younger.
Couple years?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Twins, what do I know?
I don't know anything about tennis. I know nothing about men's figure skating. I know even less about golf. So, you're killing me over here today.
Gave me softballs.
Greg Norman, holy no. My first guy, that's like, where's Joe Smith live from your block? I have no idea. All right.
Awesome.
Well, that's it. We really appreciate you coming on to the show.
This has been one of the more fun things I've done.
Yeah, I know Jeff is just, I mean, be able to talk about Sasquatch and fairies.
That made his
weekend.
I've been waiting for this for a while.
Yeah,
so.
And we'll be watching you in Olympia this year and hoping for the best on some of the important legislation, especially the healthcare and mental health the work you'll be doing. And we'll hope to have you back at some point in the future and talk about what's coming up next. So.
And I will look forward to that.
Awesome.
Hopefully the Sasquatch license plate.
Oh, you know what? That's it.
Share the trail.
All right.
Perfect.
Thanks a lot. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. You're listening to Unfiltered Radio.
Awesome.
Many thanks to KXRW supporter Adco Printing and Graphics. Owner Bill Dickey and his friendly staff have been serving the Vancouver community since 1995. They offer all the services you'd expect from a commercial printing and sign shop, combined with the personal attention to detail and the integrity of a local vendor. After all, great printing is strategy with creativity. Adco Printing and Graphics, located at 353 Grand Boulevard in Vancouver. Find out more at adco1.com. That's ADCO, the number one, .com.
Many thanks to Ruby Ribbon. Ruby Ribbon is your source for shapewear, leggings, skirts, dresses, jackets, and swimsuits that empower women to look and feel their best while going after their dreams. More information available at www.rubyribbon.com/Jody Akers. That's rubyribbon.com/JodyAkers.com or directly at 360-601-3901. Like they say at Ruby Ribbon, bye-bye bra.
Welcome back. You're listening to Unfiltered Radio with Mike and Jeff. Well, Jeff, it sounds like Olympia is going to be a busy place this winter. Senator Rivers has got a lot on her plate.
She does. So she better get on top of that Sasquatch bill.
That's the license plate thing is pretty cool, though.
I love the license plate thing. I would get that for the first time ever supporting national parks. Or state parks. What is it?
State.
Yeah. No, I don't want to support those. So never mind. I'd still get the plate, though. So I probably would be supporting them no matter what.
Well, we've got some really good shows coming up, too. We've been talking about some exciting guests, and, we've got a lot of stuff going on.
We have some candidates from the 3rd Congressional District that we'll be talking to down the road here. The newest member of the Mayor's Club of Vancouver we'll be chatting with. Familiar people. I think in the near future we'll probably see back Mr. Mark Bolt. Hopefully we'll see good old
Monica
Stone
here. Representative Stone here, yep.
And then Johnny Blum Blum.
Well, hopefully County Councilor Johnny Blum. You got me saying Johnny. No, it's not Johnny.
And hopefully we'll meet some new friends as well. I'm sure we will. We're getting into campaign seasons, about ready to gear up.
Always campaign season.
It's always campaigns. You get like a month and a half break, and then that's it.
I even think that's an exaggeration. But.
Me too.
Well, we got to wrap things up. First of all, we want to thank Tri Mountain Golf Course for allowing us to interview here today. It was a little rainy out. We didn't get a chance to hit the links, but...
Yes. I love Jeff loves sausage golf, so. Links.
Oh, I meant golf. Golf.
I don't know what that is.
So we want to thank them, and of course, we want to especially thank our guest, Washington State Senator from the 18th Legislative District, Dan Rivers. We also want to thank the volunteers and supporters who make community radio like this possible. And a huge thank you to John Oberg here, our producer, for putting up with us and getting this thing rolling. So like you all know, you can catch other great programming here on KXRW. You can tune into Hello Vancouver, The Common Good, and X-Ray in the Morning. And so for Jeff and John, this is Mike. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you all later. Take care.